with technical issues. The news segment was cut a little bit short earlier this week, but this was recorded on July 9th, 2021. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road. Also, go check out North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road over in Northville. You can also see them in the Drinking District in Northville. And, of course, PCI Brandcraft. That's at PCI Brandcraft on Facebook and Instagram. Go check them out. Anything that you need to put your logo on, whether it is a t-shirt, a hat, a cap, a cooler, whatever it may be, that's what they do. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. That's all at Better on Draft. You can find out what we were drinking by heading over to an Untappd and friending us. That's BOD Podcast, BODPODCAST. And you can join us live when we record this Friday night, 7 p.m. at betterondraft.tv, facebook.com/betterondraft, or youtube.com/betterondraft. We appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next week. All right, this is the news segment, Better on Draft Podcast. We are recording July 9th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining us. Of course, you can join us live, facebook.com/betterondraft. If you are listening to us live, you can find the videos. If you're listening to us on podcast, youtube.com/betterondraft. Check us out. Of course, you can join us in the chat when we are live to discuss with us, talk with our hosts, talk with us regarding what we are drinking, as well as what we are talking about for the news. And we are going to play real quick the intro to the news.
Whether your beer is Rob's in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
That's right. It's the news segment. Let's go around and find out what everybody is drinking. Dan, what do you got over there?
First off, who chugged their beer?
Nobody.
That should have been you, Ken.
Nobody
chugged
Jesus. Their beer.
Jesus. Still working on this bacon and eggs from Pizza Port, and I've got a Salt Fire putting on the fritz from, who is this from? Oh, Salt Fire Brewing. My bad. Out of Salt Lake City. Yeah, whatever.
We'll just have Rob chug two beers next week.
Okay, that's fair.
Wendy, what do you got?
So I just finished up this Well-Being Hellraiser Dark Amber, which I really enjoyed. I think I'm going to go back and get some more of that. And I also have the Smooge Tropical Vacation. It's the new flavor out there. When I went to pick up the Well-Being, I happened to see a pallet of it, so grabbed a little bit.
And for me, I got sent a beer from a brewery called Flying Embers. Now, this has got a lot to it, but it's USDA organic beer. This is a probiotic beer. It has 2 carbs and 95 calories in this 16-ounce can. Or it's one of those things where it's a 12-ounce thing, so I got to, like, do a multiplier of 1.33 and figure out what the number is. But, yeah, so I got this as a gift to taste because everyone knows that I am keto, bingo square, and this is a keto-friendly beer, a keto-friendly stout at that. So chocolate stout, this is the first time that I will or second time because Crankers over in – oh, geez. Where are they? Grand Rapids? Big Rapids? One of the Rapids, I think. They make a keto IPA and a keto stout. So that is what I'm drinking with the news segment. Decent amount of news, and I wanted to start off real quick while I begin drinking my beer. But a couple of news segments ago, we had the Denver Beer Co. They had an NFT, which gave you all you can drink for the rest of your life. This is a token that you could get 4 beers per day. The beers can be shared, but they can't be stacked. So if I don't go, those beers are gone. This token can be transferable, meaning you can sell it later. And it was sold for $9,357 officially after all intents and purposes. That includes the token. And I guess my question is, let's go back to what we were thinking about. Would you pay $9,300 knowing you can get 4 beers per day for the rest of your life? You don't have to drink all 4 beers. You can share it with friends and you can sell it at a later date. Dan.
No, I'm not going to do it. I don't drink enough beer to. I mean, it's a great deal if you're going to, and assuming they stay in business, but I just don't drink enough beer to make it worthwhile.
So if you were to do 4 beers at $5 a pint, that would take you 468 days to break even. And of course, again, it's a asset, so you still can use it afterwards and you can sell it.
Yeah, assuming they stay in business, it's a great thing.
That's true. That's true. There was, did either of you watch the Netflix brewery comedy that came out, I want to say last year? I think it was called Brewery Brothers.
No, I haven't heard of it.
I mean, that's probably a good thing. It was pretty bad. It was released on April 10th, 2020. It is on Netflix, and it is you could see a lot of the, the characters in real life. It just was not a good show, to say the least. But the reason I say that is that one of the jokes they had is they had two big guys who would be there every single day, and they bought lifetime memberships at the beginning, and they showed their picture on the wall of the lifetime memberships, and these guys are like 150 pounds less.
Oh boy.
From drinking all the beer. But what about you, Wendy? $9,400?
No, I don't think I would do that. I try not to keep track of how much I spend on beer, so I probably wouldn't want to put that out up front.
Dan brings up the big point of how long are they going to stay in business. And with craft beer, I don't think we have a large amount of knowledgeable information of if a brewery is going to stay in business or not, just because we've seen good breweries get, have to close, and we've seen bad breweries still exist years later. So who knows? What I think if you would have asked 25-year-old Ken, I probably would have done it though. but now that I am still 34 for another 3 hours, I don't think I can. But again, for me, I would feel like I'd be forced to go drink beer when I wouldn't want to drink beer.
Yep, me too. You got to get the use out of it to like make it worthwhile, especially for that dollar amount.
I definitely agree with that too.
I mean, if I'm going once a week and I can do it for like 4 years, I could probably resell it for and still make a profit. But that's still me going to the same brewery once a week. And if I ain't seen, we talk about how craft beer fans are not loyal to anyone. This would make you loyal to a brewery. You'd be flying their flag all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, we just had the holiday weekend. We had a show on Monday with Drecker Brewing. We took the Friday off, and Drizzly came in and said that of the beer category for their delivery program, they had 28% of their beers were seltzers that were delivered.
Wow.
Behind that was 22% light lagers. Light lagers and seltzers carried 50% of the delivery information. What were you guys drinking this weekend? Past weekend? Anything?
Wendy? Yeah, vodka soda.
Vodka
sorry,
soda.
Sorry, I'm not Wendy. Yeah, sorry.
I kind of hit a mix. I went with some light beers, but on Friday night, I finally got the chance to meet up with a friend of mine who we have been holding on to some of the Black is Beautiful beers that we've collected, and we got to sample some of those. So though I guess I didn't really go light that day. And then on Saturday I had a friend that shared his palatable with me, so I don't think I really went light. I definitely wasn't drinking seltzers though.
I when I was out, I was drinking, I'm going to be honest, I was drinking Miller Lite and Labatt and seltzers. Staying light, staying low ABV so I could pace myself throughout the night. Because I knew if I was going to drink booze, I'd get messed up too fast. I knew if I was going to drink craft beer, I'd get messed up too fast. So, I was definitely kicking it with the light lagers. The irony of me buying a Labatt Blue on July 4th weekend, though, was not lost on me. a friend called me out on it, like, are you sure you're celebrating the right day? I'm like, I'm a few days late for Canada Day, but, It's okay.
You're just not trying hard enough anymore.
I told you, I'm just getting old. Like, that's the thing, is that I couldn't tell if maybe I'm just getting too old for this shit, and I've calmed down.
I don't think that's it, considering you're how much younger than the rest of us on here.
Yeah.
That's an excuse.
I prefer to think of it as getting smarter.
Okay.
Sure. Oh. Yeah, you're getting smarter until I show up and just derail the whole thing. But,
well, yeah, you do that all the time for me. You're the worst influence probably in my life. And that's more than just alcohol, just period, Dan.
I know.
So you were talking about drinking your vodka sodas all weekend. Brewbound, the Brewers Association did a consumer survey in 2021, and they said 94% of craft beer drinkers drink other alcoholic products. So Dan doing a Stoli. I love my Japanese whiskey, which I drink on the show. Wendy, you don't drink, you know, often non-beer products on this show.
No, I'm a big fan of bourbon. I like the craft cocktails, though. I prefer to have something like that made for me rather than making it myself. So
that's something else that's gotten bigger in the days of the last few years. Our craft cocktails seem to be growing, at least out here.
They definitely are growing out here too in Michigan, with the likes of like Kiesling, which we mentioned on our interview earlier today with Wellbeing Tom. What people don't understand is that they want the craft cocktail, but they think the craft cocktail takes like 3 seconds to make, not realizing that it is a lot of things to make these cocktails. You're not mixing fucking, you know, throwing Jack Daniels in a glass and then using a soda gun for Coke. Like, that takes a lot of effort for the bartender to make. So when people are like, why does this cost so much? Or, you know, why is it taking so long? And they're waiting for, you know, to order, and they see the bartender mixing and doing all these things. And you're just, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm going to be honest, guys, and I don't want to say it live, but I am really disappointed with this beer.
Oh no, is it that bad?
I think it's either infected or I'm getting some type of sour notes that I should not be getting. Or,
oh boy.
Or you know what? Maybe it's the mushrooms that are in this beer.
Oh, why? No, so number one, there should never be a mushroom in a beer. Let's be real.
It's got the ingredients. It says water, barley malt, rolled oats, cocoa, reishi, which is a type of mushroom, ale yeast, monk fruit, vanilla, and probiotic culture.
Yeah, they're going way too hard with that beer.
I am not happy. Maybe I thought it was infected at first, but now that I see that there's mushrooms in there, that's probably the flavor that I'm getting that I just don't want.
And probiotic what?
Probiotic culture.
So they just throw in some yogurt in there, or what are they doing?
I don't know. It's a secret ingredient. Inspired by recipes from around the world, crafted with adaptogens, mushrooms, botanicals, probiotics. Does that say pro or pre? That says prebiotics and live probiotics. So it's got pre and pro.
Oh boy.
Biotics. So we know Wendy drinks bourbon. Do you guys think that there's a correlation between craft beer drinkers and drinking other alcoholic beverages? Like, there's no, when you think back to the Clint Eastwood type of person where he only drinks PBR, he only drinks probably Arrow.
Isn't that a movie?
Yeah, it was a movie. I don't remember his character's name. He just said, get off my lawn and don't eat my dog. That's all I remember from the movie, is those two quotes and the fact that he likes PBR. And he had a Polish last name, and it was in Detroit. Grand Torino.
It was Highland Park, not Detroit.
Oh my God. But do you guys think there's a correlation between the craft beer drinkers and reaching outside of craft?
Well, I think craft beer drinkers are people who want to enjoy what they're drinking, not necessarily just get drunk. So I guess, yeah, I could see we would look for something else. Like I said, I like the cocktails, but I prefer to have other people make it for me. That's just me being lazy, though.
Is it being lazy, or the fact that you probably are so judgmental on yourself that you would never live up to the cocktail that somebody made you at some bar?
Oh, that would be me for sure.
That would probably be me. Because I was going to say, on the show on Monday, I had the Knob Creek Old Fashioned pre-made cocktail.
And I thought that was good.
It was good, but I don't know that it was like somebody made it for me good. I mean, they did make it for me, but...
the factory made it for you.
Right.
Rolling out of the factory. Dan, what do you think?
You know, as just speaking from experience for the longest time, and you even will know this if you thought about it, like I didn't want anything to do with liquor or anything outside of beer. It did take me a while to figure it out, and probably because I was sick of being like 300 pounds. But I mean, I love reaching outside. Like I rarely drink beer anymore. I'm more of a liquor guy, and not just because it's, you know, better calorie wise. It actually does taste pretty good. So I think once someone's been drinking, especially craft beer for a while, they do start to look for something different. They're like, hey, let's try something new. And they find things like craft cocktails to do it.
I think a lot of us have the exact same culture of when you think of beer, you don't like it until you find the craft beer and you find all the different flavors. And then when you go into booze, you know, when you're getting older, when you're younger and you're going to Windsor at 19 or 21, and you're going to a college party, you know, you ain't drinking the best stuff. You're drinking fucking well whiskey, well vodka. You're drinking Jack Daniels and Coke. You're, you know, drinking Goldschlager or Jaeger, Fireball. Like you're drinking these types of drinks that are not necessarily, you know, they're well crafted in their own right, I guess, but they're not as well crafted as, say, a nice glass of whiskey, because either, you know, you're cheap or the person that's buying it is cheap, and that's just how, you know, you're drinking it as a shooter. Like I went to at the 4th of July party I went to, shots came out for Jack Daniels, and I'm like, god damn it. Talk about peer pressure. So, you know, I had a shot of Jack Daniels, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's nice to see friends that I hadn't seen since pre-pandemic, and you know, it was an event. But for me, I've got a decent little liquor cabinet, and the whiskey and the gin that I have, like I don't mess around, and I make sure I spend the money on the quality product, because I know I'm going to drink it and I'm going to enjoy it. And I know that when I'm drunk, I'm not going to drink it because I know how expensive it is, and I want to enjoy it. But speaking of products, this is going to be one of the more last news articles that we're talking about for today, unless you guys have any news that you are going through. But I don't know if you saw Coors Seltzer is going to be no longer made here in America. Coors is actually pulling back on the Coors Seltzer product here in America. They are keeping it in Canada, so you'll have to go to the beer store to buy it, should you want it. But this follows alongside them also taking back and hibernating other products, including St. Archer Gold, which was the counter to Michelob Ultra, and a lot of Leinenkugel's Shandy flavors. These are, you know, everyone knows about Leinenkugel, like Summer Shandy, and they have like a Winter Shandy and all these different shandies. St. Archer Gold, I don't think it really took off that much. I don't think anybody was really drinking it. And when you think of like low-cal, low-carb, you always think Mick Ultra. But are we seeing, you know, what do we think of this pullback from Molson Coors not making these brands anymore?
I feel like it's the first death in the way too many seltzers. Like I'm looking at this picture in the article, orange cream pop hard seltzer. Like, come on. Who's actually going to buy that? But I really do think it's the first death in the overpopulation of the seltzer shelf.
Hold on one second, because I'm going to counter that Henry's Hard Orange was a really big seller, which you could probably say is just like the Orange Tree Pop Hard Seltzer.
Is that the same as a seltzer, though? Like, I think of the Henry's and, like, the root beer. Is that? I don't think it's the same product.
Well, I mean, it's a soda as opposed to a seltzer. So it's going to be a little bit more sugary, but if you want that orange soda, like orange cream soda flavor, but you don't want the sugar or the calories or the carbs, I mean, this kind of fits into it. I mean, I agree that it kind of jumped the shark based on standard flavors, but what's the smooge that you just got, Wendy?
I was just going to say, I'm drinking this tropical vacation smooge. It's got and I might need to pull my glasses out to read this.
Oh boy.
But it's it's got pineapple puree, passion fruit, guava, mango, cream of coconut, tangerine, and alcohol banana puree. So, I mean, that's all about creamy and fruity and
And here's
stupid fruited, but
we made a trip today to Plum Market to get this specific seltzer from Untitled Art, the Painkiller Imperial Seltzer, which is pineapple puree, cream of coconut, orange juice concentrate, nutmeg, and cinnamon.
Wow. I still think, is that more regional though? I don't think I can get that out here, for example.
Untitled Art, I'd have to know, but I don't know exactly where they're located. I think they're a contract brewer. They're in Wisconsin.
But like Coors Seltzer, I've seen it at some points and I've looked at them. And it's like, why am I choosing Coors Seltzer over Mick Ultra Seltzer, Bud Light Seltzer, all these other ones, Corona Seltzer? You know, some of those are going to fall along the wayside eventually.
I'm not going to lie. The Mick Ultra Seltzer is really good.
So good. Those are the best macro ones by far.
I think between Mick Ultra and Corona Seltzer, I think I like the Corona Seltzers too.
Yep, my favorite too.
Wendy, do you dabble in the not 800 ingredient seltzers at all?
No.
No, just
sometimes. I guess sometimes if it's there, like if I'm at a party and somebody has it, I'll try it. I wouldn't buy it though. Not just because I don't need to drink it.
Well, here's the difference too, is that so the orange cream ale was 90 calories. These painkillers for a 16 ounce glass is like 325 calories.
Ouch.
Which I don't know if that matches up with the 9% ABV. Like I'd have to look at the craft beer calorie calculator that I use.
You got to be careful with some of those seltzers, especially from breweries.
This one's 240 calories per can. And
how big's the can?
See the
like 6 ounces.
12 ounces. I'm trying to find the ABV on it though.
Here we
it's
go.
Only 5% alcohol.
So a 16 ounce 9% beer. This is actually lower than a regular 9% beer. So a half liter 17 ounces is 380 calories at 9%. And that's when you're factoring in like your basic beers, nothing made with like lactose sugars or, you know,
no pastry stouts, anything.
Exactly. I use Homebrew Academy's website. And there was another website that I used to use that gave you like a range, like if it's a pastry stout or something like that, this is the range you'll use. And if it's not, like it's just a regular lager, this is the range you'll use. I really hope I have another Flying Embers beer, which I know we're going to be reviewing, which is the lager. And I know Ed's got this, but it's kind of growing on me, but it's just still not. I'm really disappointed because I was so excited for it. Because I saw that they had it. I'm like, ooh, can I try this? And they're like, sure, no problem. They make kombucha, which is really good, too. Like, I've had their kombucha before, but this... I can only guess it's the mushroom because I hate mushrooms. I don't know if it's nothing that
me
I
too.
No beer that I've had that's had mushrooms that I've liked. We had one from some brewery in Canada when we were coming back from Toronto. We swung by this brewery and had a bottle of it to go, and I was like, "Oh, that's interesting, mushrooms in a beer," and it just wasn't.
And no,
it was definitely a bad idea. So this beer, I don't even know, I think it's 4%, 4.5%. So like a 16 ouncer of that would normally be 190 calories. You know, it's really depressing when you look at the caloric intake of beer. And I suggest everyone do it once in your life to just to see where you are, because I think it'll hit a little hard, especially if you're trying to lose weight and you can't figure out why you're not losing weight at all.
Well, you're pounding beers.
Yeah, I only ate 1,000 calories today, but I drank 1,400.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
where were so
So yeah,
Coors Seltzer is bringing back all the. Or so Coors Seltzer is coming back. Mick Ultra, the St. Archer Gold's coming back, and then the Leinenkugel's Shandy. Wendy, I wanted to hear your take on it. Do you agree with Dan? Do you disagree that so you know? Go on.
The Shandies are something that I can't get behind. So I guess I don't mind like the pre-made cocktails and stuff like that. But for some reason, like if somebody were to make me a Shandy with beer and lemonade, I would be cool with it. But the pre-made ones, I just think are too sugary and they don't taste like a real Shandy.
I think
so. I've never understood why they're so popular.
Because no one knows better.
I mean,
they have it. It's kind of sweet. It's a good summer drink.
Yeah, easy to drink, crushable, great for a really hot day, but you don't want something like a light lager. That's probably the last time that I crushed a Shandy was on a golf course.
Was it the Choco Berries or the Cocoa Berry Shandy?
No, I still have that Shandy in the refrigerator.
So I think that's opposite, though, because when you put the Shandies that they make with in the bottle that are pre-made are usually higher in sugar. So when you're drinking that on a hot day, you get fucked up faster.
Oh, of course you do, but people don't know that.
Maybe that's why people really like it, because to me, the Shandy, you use a light beer and a nice light lemonade, and it's delicious. That's refreshing. But a bottle of sugar, not so refreshing.
What are they called?
That's my opinion, though.
Like a Radler?
I do like a Radler, but I don't like the ones that I buy pre-made.
Well, pre-mades are never going to be as good when it comes down to it. It's like these, what's that, like that Jim Beam highball? Just not nearly as good as if you just make your own. It's always going to be that way.
I never liked those ready-to-drink cocktails off the shelf, like either if it's the little cocktail bombs or the cans or anything like that. I know like Coppercraft makes them, and it's just not, they're always too sweet, and they're always just not, mind you, I've had amazing cocktails with Coppercraft, the cocktails that I feel like I'm drinking, but like the actual pre-made drink itself is just something that I just can't get behind at all.
Yeah. They're never nearly as good.
No, not at all. That's going to do it for the Better on Draft podcast. This is the news segment. Thank you so much for joining us. A little bit short of a day just because we started really late, and I'm going to be spending probably the next 2 hours trying to fix this problem. So we hope you all had a great time. Again, you can join us on the podcast, 7 p.m. Eastern, facebook.com/betteronDraftLive. You can see the videos of all of us to see what we look like on our YouTube page, youtube.com/betteronDraft. We're bringing in, I believe, one of our very first festivals, the Burning Foot Beer Festival, next week, who is going to be our guest in Sierra Nevada in 2 weeks. I'm excited because I want to know the amount of effort that goes into putting not only a giant beer fest, but a music fest on the same day at the same place. Lots of questions to ask there.
What's this, the Fire Festival?
No,
the
Burning Foot Beer Festival.
Oh,
this is actually a successful festival.
Sorry.
It's you on don't. The beach too.
Yep, on the beach up in Muskegon.
Muskegon.
Yep, and if you look at the photos and stuff too, you'd probably be like, "Holy shit, that looks like COVID would destroy it." But we're going to be excited to talk about the precautions that they're taking and everything that they're doing at the festival to make sure that you can enjoy it. So that's going to do it. Better on Draft the News, July 9th. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.